Hello, this is Steve Braswell, and welcome to my podcast. I'm glad you could join me today. We are in a series that we're looking at the seven secrets of contentment. I still believe contentment is one of the things that we need most in our lives today. And the fourth secret of contentment, the one we're looking at today, is find hope in your future. Our scripture today is Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 13. So listen to God's word as I read it. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, okay, so he's talking about how important it is that the Gentiles are glorifying God, not just the Jews, and so he strings together some Old Testament references to the Gentiles. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. 2 Samuel 22:50 and Psalm 18:49. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. Deuteronomy 32:43. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. Psalm 117:1. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. Isaiah 11:10. And then he closes his section with verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes? Maybe you've seen similar things in our day now, but I remember the way it used to be, and they would have advertisements about somebody showing up at your front door out of the blue and awarding you with a giant check, symbolic of monthly payments that you would receive for life. Well, back in the old days, they sent you offers in the mail with lots of stamped stickers for magazines to which you could subscribe. I remember when I was in graduate school and living on very little, I got one of those in the mail. It had Ed McMahon's picture on the front of the envelope, and it said something like this, you have been chosen to receive $1 million, large print on the envelope, in small print, if you are selected. But I just read the large print. Somehow I remember when I got that, I believed the large print. I just knew that I was going to be selected for that great prize. So I waited. Do you know what happened? No one ever notified me. I did not win the prize. But today I want to notify you about a special gift you can receive. It's for all of you. It's a gift from God. It's summarized in one special word, H-O-P-E, hope. And this is one of the secrets to contentment in your life, having that hope. We use that word in so many ways. I hope I can pass that test. I hope I won't get sick. I hope I can keep my job. I hope I can live to see some special event happen. I hope our country can live together in peace. With all of those things, will they happen just because we hope for them? Maybe not. So what good is hope? I heard someone say recently, without hope, there's no reason to live. But what good is it to hope for things that will never happen? Are we just conning ourselves into thinking about a fairy tale that will never come true? Like me hoping somebody's going to show up at my front door and give me $1 million, but it never happens? Well, let me help you understand what Christian hope is, okay? Christian hope is not just wishing something will happen. Christian hope is confident expectation about the future. I'll say it again. Christian hope is confident expectation about the future. But how can we be confident? How can we be so sure? Well, if there was anyone in my life that I knew I could trust, it was my dad. If he said he was going to be somewhere, he was there, and even before that time. If he said he was going to do something for you, he did it, and he did it with all his might. But no matter how much I trusted him, there were some things beyond his control, so that in time, he passed away. He was no longer here for me to trust. But not so with God. I can trust his word. I can trust all his promises. He's never failed me yet, or anyone else. Not even death can thwart his purposes. Jesus died, but he rose again, never to die again. So here's the gift that God gives you today, a gift unlike any you can get from anybody else. You have hope. You're never beyond hope as long as your hope is in the Lord. Now look at the scriptures I just read, Romans 15:5-13. Part of the context of this passage is that Paul has been talking about some things that divided the Christians of his day. Things like eating meat that had been offered to idols, or considering one day more important than others. He tells the believers that they need to be united in glorifying God, even when they disagreed about some of those non-essentials of the faith. And he says that including the Gentiles, the non-Jews, in glorifying God actually fulfills some of the ancient promises made to the patriarchs. To demonstrate that point, Paul strings together Old Testament quotes that share a common key word, Gentiles. He says that it is through this special root of Jesse, that is Jesus, that the Gentiles will have hope so that they are not without hope. And then in verse 13, Paul gives us what we would call a benediction. It's actually the first of three in the last part of this letter. Many times you would think of a benediction being at the very end, but there are actually three benedictions. Romans 15:13, and then 15:33, and then 16:20. But today we're just going to look at this first one, Romans 15:13. Notice each part of this benediction because it's packed with meaning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's take it phrase by phrase. May the God of hope. God is the source of our hope and the object of our hope, so much so that he can be called the God of hope. And then may the God of hope fill you with all joy. God is able to fill us up with joy, not based on our circumstances, but based on what we know is true by faith in God. He says, and peace. We can have a settled sense of peace because we know that our God is in control. As I've had people of faith say to me over the years before facing a major surgery, I have a peace that no matter what happens, I will be all right. That kind of settled peace. And then he says, as you trust in him. This is the condition of this life of hope, this gift. Yes, it's a gift offered to us and given to us, but it does have a condition. We enter it by faith in God, as you trust in him. And then he says, so that you may overflow with hope. When our faith is in God, we literally overflow with hope. Think of pouring water from a large pitcher into a small cup and doing it very quickly and not trying to restrain yourself, and the cup just overflows with water. I love to drink iced tea when I go out to eat. That's my favorite drink of choice when I go out to eat. And when my server comes back to fill up that glass, I don't want the server to just fill it up halfway. Now, I'm not saying I want the server to spill it either, but I want it to be completely full, or maybe even overflowing. That's the image, so that you may overflow with hope. You have so much hope that it just spills over the side. And then he says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit who lives within us empowers us to do what we cannot do alone. As Paul says in Romans 8:23, the Spirit is the first fruits, the one given to us as a promise that we will get the total amount promised, which is the redemption of our bodies. So the Holy Spirit who lives within us as believers right now is the first fruits of all that is to come. The Spirit's presence tells us that we can hope. We can have confident expectation of the future because we already have the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit's presence is a sign that we'll get everything else that God has promised us. So what does the Bible tell us about hope? Well, like Paul, I'm going to go through the Bible and pick out some scriptures that use that key word hope and string them together like he did with the key word Gentiles in Romans 15. Okay? So, some scriptures, what the Bible tells us about hope. Romans 5, 3 through 5. These verses tell us that sufferings produce perseverance, character, and hope. So even the sufferings that you're enduring right now help produce hope. The verses say, we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Okay, the next scripture, Ephesians 2:12. This verse teaches us that before you came to faith in Christ, you were without hope. It says, remember that at that time when you were Gentiles by birth, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So before we came to faith in Christ, we had no hope, no reason. We could wish for things and hope for things, but we didn't have that Christian hope, that confident expectation about the future. Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is, what is the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Christ in you, the promised Christ in you is your very hope of glory to come. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. It's easy for the rich to put their hope in wealth. The more wealth you have, the easier it is to trust in and hope in wealth. But we should be putting our hope in God. And 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us something we already know, but we need to be reminded of. Wealth is so uncertain. Here today, gone tomorrow, whether it's the stock market changing in value or whether it's prices going up or whether it's facing a health care crisis that takes a lot of our money, whatever it might be, wealth is so uncertain. So, isn't it better to put your hope in someone who richly provides everything for your enjoyment? And that is, put your hope in God. Titus 2:13 to 14. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. And what is that? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we are all waiting for that blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus Christ, Jesus' return to earth that he promised. And that is our blessed hope. Remember, not just something that, well, I've been told about it and I hope it'll happen. No, it's a confident expectation of the future because God has promised it. One more verse, 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So God has given us new birth into a living hope. And I like the way Peter characterizes that, not just into a hope or even a certain hope, but a living hope. And why does he call it living? Because it's connected to Jesus Christ, who died but is still alive, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So our hope is still living. It's still alive, always will be. Now, why can we have this kind of persistent, never give up kind of hope? Because ultimately, our hope is not in our circumstances, but in God. Think of the Israelites in slavery in Egypt who thought God had forgotten them. What happened? God led them out of Egypt with his mighty hand, but then he led them to the banks of the Red Sea with the great army of Egypt on their heels. He led them to a place where there was no way out, no escape, no exit. It seemed to be a place of total hopelessness. But then God made a way out of no way. The message of the Exodus story is that only God can make a way out of no way. The Lord is able. So today, you might be in some kind of seemingly hopeless situation. You don't even want to hear about hope because you have no hope. But God can bring you hope when there is no hope, because only God can make a way out of no way. So finish this statement. Be honest. Right now, my hope is in, what are some possibilities? My good health, my savings, my brains, my family, my good grades, my good looks, our government, our military. Make your list, what add to that list, whatever. My hope is in, well, go back and look at that list. All of those things can fail you. The only safe way to answer that question is this. My hope is in the Lord. That's the only way to be content. And that's one of the secrets of contentment. Find hope in your future in the Lord. Friends, God wants you to have hope, a hope that is real, a hope that will never fail you, a hope that is not just optimistic, wishful thinking, but is based on the fact of who God is and what God has done for you. That's the kind of hope God wants you to have, and that's the kind of hope that can make you content no matter your circumstances. Remember, that's one of the things we said about contentment. It's no good if it's just when things are good, because that's not really contentment. That's just enjoying good times. Contentment is that feeling of peace even when our circumstances are not peaceful or not what we want. And that is what God offers us, the gift of hope, which brings us contentment. Thanks for spending time with me today. We'll look forward to next week. Our fifth secret of contentment is let your shepherd do his job. So I look forward to talking about that next week.